So let's all stand. Ready? You're tied to my fingers. Come on. Okay, stand up. In just a moment, we'll bow our heads and our hearts. And just in case there's some confession or some forgiving that we should do to husband or wife or the folks or the employer or anything that should be made right, we can make it right in a split second through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then I'll lead us to the throne audibly. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you can hear our prayers, and we can come through the merit of another, the merit of one who said, come boldly to the throne of grace, you might find help and mercy in time of need. And our Father, we realize that through confession of sin, that we can be just as though we had never sinned. We can be pure and spotless through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we pray tonight that you might open our hearts to the Word and the Word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I have heard that there's definitions of getting a thought over to an audience. And one definition that I like was given by a Negro brother down in Alabama way where I live. And the idea was that you, first thing you do, you tell them what you're going to tell them. Then the second thing you do is you tell them. Then the third thing you do is you tell them you done told them. So I would like for you to remember this first meeting, and I think you will. And the title of this message tonight is Gratitude. You can write that down. The way I spell it is G-R-A-T-I-T-U-D-E, Gratitude. Or you can put a subtitle or topic of thankfulness or giving of thanks. Another synonym might be appreciation. In the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's memorize this verse. Some of you have been around the navigators from time to time, and you've probably met some navigator that memorized scripture. Well, I met one once, and he taught me how to memorize scripture, and it changed my life. That was... well, it was quite a while ago. Yes, Chaplain, I guess that was 25 years ago in Pearl Harbor. And it helped me, and it continues to help me. So let's memorize a verse. And I'm sure that you are up to date and you have many translations. But for tonight, let's memorize it under the out of the original translation, the King James. You know why I use the King James? It's the kind my wife gave me for my birthday. You would use it too if your wife gave you one. You'd use it all the time. Ready? Let's say the verse and the reference and the verse, and then the reference again. Ready in unison. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's do it again. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We'll be going over that from time to time. You'll know it in a few minutes. The definition of gratitude, according to the dictionary I used, is the acknowledgement of divine favor. And I am amazed at the many passages in Scripture that's given on gratitude or thankfulness. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Speaking of our wonderful Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis, the third chapter. I'll start reading with about verse 6 through 13. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Genesis 3, 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking, of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave to me, and of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. It's interesting, right in the outset, in the Garden of Eden, that the devil, through the serpent, comes along, and he challenges the Word of God. In fact, he openly says, God didn't say this. And if he did say it, he didn't mean it just like this. What he knew was that when you ate, you would be as God. You would know good from evil. Now, that's, I'm sure, what we'd like to know. We'd like to know good from evil. Is that your consuming desire, to know good from evil? Is it? You don't know good from evil? You don't want to know good. You're not real sure if this is a trick question, huh? Well, I'm not really sure that it's necessary to know good from evil. I'm not. I am really sure, though, that it's necessary to know what God wants. And if He says it, that's good. That's always good. And she knew that. She didn't have to know good from evil. God knew good from evil. It isn't necessary that my children know good from evil. It's only necessary that my children know what Daddy wants and for them to do what Daddy says. That's all that's necessary. They can't always understand what is good and what is evil, but they can always understand what Daddy says and what He wants. But she saw that it was good for food. Now, was Eve hard up for some food? What do you think? Not in the Garden of Eden. She had all the food that she wanted. But she saw this and she wanted some more. What was her basic problem? Was Eve hard up for something to look at? You know, this is one of the prettiest places I've ever seen. Glen Eyrie is one of the prettiest places I have ever seen on this earth. Now, I haven't been around. Jim Downey, he goes around the world once a year, once every 2 years. But I've seen other places than this, of course. But it's a pretty place. And folks, when we have a snow here, just a light snow, we're not going to have one tonight. I don't think. That's not a promise. That's a prophecy. And these trees are covered with snow. Just any place you want to, you take your picture, you can use it for a postcard. Then going up Ute Pass, when the aspen start turning, and up at Eagle Lake, where you have those different evergreens, and then the aspen leaves turn from yellow to kind of a brown into a deep red, and this oak starts turning red, and the poison oak starts turning red. I tell you, it's pretty. It's real pretty. In fact, October the 1st, the year before last, I was going duck hunting down south of Walsenburg, and I went down, and it was so pretty. The countryside was so pretty. After the first day, I left the reservation there and came home to get my wife, to take her down to show her the beauty. I was afraid we wouldn't see it again. But none of that compares to the Garden of Eden. Why, all of these trees, and incidentally, they're healthy. But even a healthy tree has myriads of diseases and bugs, according to the horticulturist. And the grass looks pretty, but you look way down in there and there's dandelions. They're really not so dandy, but that's what they call it. It's weeds. Nothing to compare with the Garden of Eden. And yet she wasn't satisfied. Then she saw that it was good to make one wise. Now, I don't know what a person will need. So help me. I'm at a loss to know what a person needs. If God the Father walks with them and talks with them and answers their questions. This is the way it was with Eve. But she wasn't satisfied. She didn't say, thank you, Lord, for all this good food, and thank you, Lord, for all this beauty, and thank you, Lord, for all this wisdom. She wanted the responsibility. The devil said she could have it, and so she got it. She got the responsibility. Then after she got it, and she shared with friend Adam that listened to the voice of his wife. Scripture says in 1 Timothy 2:13-14, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. The girl, the woman, was tricked. He wasn't tricked. He sinned with his eyes wide open. In my brief span of life of dealing with men, I have yet to look straight into a man's eyes and call the strokes or call the sin in which he is living and him deny it. I have yet to do it. But I've seen myriads of women that was tricked or deceived. It's hard to deceive a man, particularly about sin. It's hard to deceive him. He goes into it with his eyes wide open. Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. He went into it with his eyes wide open. And so the Lord said, where are you, fella? And he finally found him. And he says, oh, it was the woman that thou gavest me. That's a real manly hide-behind-the-apron remark, isn't it? The woman that thou gavest me. He won the responsibility. He knew that he could tell good from evil. But when he got the responsibility, he shirked it. He went to the woman and said, all right, you want the responsibility? She said, well, it was the serpent. Neither were thankful. Let's say our verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Would you make that mistake? In the midst of beauty, would you say, thank you, Lord? In the midst of plenty of food, would you say, thank you, Lord? In the midst of every opportunity for education and for wisdom, would you say, thank you, Lord? Or is there some anxiousness? Is there some anxiety way down in your soul that drives you on and you won't mow it? Psalm 106:13-15. Let's read that one. Psalm 106, starting with verse 13. This is speaking of the children of Israel. They were out in the wilderness now. And the scripture says, they soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness unto their soul. They soon forget his works. When you're tempted to criticize, when you're tempted to murmur, do you forget the works of God? Do you have some milestones in your life? It's good to have. We're putting a fence around our acreage up north of the canyon. We have a boys' camp. We have 320 acres up there, surrounded by the forest, National Forest. And the Forest Service has a Christmas tree cutting program that I don't exactly agree with, particularly when they come over on our land, cut the trees. So we decided to put a fence around. In order to put a fence around, it's necessary to find these little markers that a certified civil engineer put up, called landmarks. You know, in the Bible it says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. It's against the law to remove these things unless you're a licensed engineer. But we go by these landmarks, and then we can circumscribe our land with a fence. They're landmarks. That's what they are. I think it's good to have landmarks in our lives. You remember promises that you made. Remember when you were facing death or sickness, financial difficulty, or the children were sick. Remember those things? Well, I do now, John, since you mentioned that I do. Yeah, quite well. You know, we should have a program of reviewing those. Because we might forget too easily. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. Is this water dated down here? Is this? It is? 7:15, August the 13th. Dr. Halverson accused the fellows of just changing the little slips of paper rather than changing the water. I don't know just how dry this message is going to be, so I better... Are you tired? Would you like to stand up? Are you restless? You want to stand up? Okay, stand up. Let's stand up. The children of Israel were murmuring about many of the things that we murmur about. Food, the way it's cooked, where I'm sleeping, raiment, you know, my clothes. The hairdressers are closed on Monday. Or the barbershops are closed on Monday. It really doesn't make any difference to me, of course. So they decided they didn't want to eat these little wafers made with honey, this manna. So they murmured. And so the Lord brought a wind from the seaside, and he brought quail. And several days the wind blew. You find this record over in Numbers 11:31. And the quail were 2 cubits thick. Cubit is roughly from this part of the hand down to here, roughly 18 inches. So 2 of those would be 3 feet or a yard. A day's journey in every direction from the camp. None but birds. You know, I have a couple of dozen chuckers down here I'm raising, and a couple of dozen guineas. And about 6 ducks. And boy, that's the messiest barn I've ever seen. Boy, you talking about quail 3 feet thick. As far as you could see, that'd be a mess. Boy, that'd be That'd be worse than a flock of mallards. So they began to gather in the quail, and of course this brought on the plague. And he gave them their request. Oh, incidentally, quail meat is my favorite. Pheasant is second only to quail. But boy, I wouldn't want that much quail. He gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. 1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and was destroyed of the destroyer. And incidentally, 1 Corinthians 10:11 is also good, just to tuck away someplace. Now all these things happen to them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, I don't murmur. Oh, I don't complain. Oh, I'm grateful. Sure, I'm grateful. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. One of the best ways to hold forth the word of life in your church and my church and among the non-Christians with whom you and I fellowship is to have a grateful heart, a grateful attitude toward God. And folks, the Lord has ways of teaching us. I didn't think I had a problem. I shared this very same thought to the staff in the spring. I thought, man, I'm qualified to preach on Thanksgiving. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Thankful for my bird dog, both of my shotguns. You know, I'm thankful for lots of things. And then the Lord saw fit that June I got sick. At least I thought I was sick. You know, have you ever noticed how a man gets sick a whole lot louder than a woman? Well, I think I get sick the loudest of anybody I know. I might not have been very sick, but I thought I was. With a bronchitis condition. And I lost my voice. Then I started coughing. And then I got some cough medicine, and it wasn't doing any good, and through the prescription with the doctor, we got some more, and then I had a reaction to this cough medicine. And we have several nurses here on the grounds, and by this time they had made a mist tent over my bed and got the vaporizer and trying to get me where I could breathe a little more easily, rather. And by this time, this cough medicine had taken its effect, and I just crawled into the bed, and there I was. I was just locked out. My mind was all right, but I couldn't move my body and couldn't open my eyes. And I got frightened. I was afraid I was going to die, you know. And I've been preparing to die for 27 years. Ever since I was saved. But when I'm faced with it each time, it shakes me up. And my wife said, honey, scoot up into the mist tent. I just lay there on the bed. And I whispered to the nurse, who was real close, that I couldn't move. And the Lord showed me. He says, John, when I get ready for you to scoot up on the bed into the mist tent and lay your head on the pillow, I'll give you the word. When I get ready, John, for you to open your eyes and I recognized. Then I started coughing. My wife said I coughed for 3 hours without stopping. I don't know how long it was, but I remembered when I first came in, I remembered that this in all probability was of the Lord, and that I wasn't going to complain. And every once in a while, every 4 or 5 hours, I'd ask my wife, "Honey, have I complained?" She said, "No." Well, then I asked the Lord, if it pleased him, I'd stop coughing, because I was hurting pretty bad by this time. And so I stopped almost instantaneously. Then he sent the burden for my sin and for my selfishness and for my sharp tongue. I can take a fellow and nail him to the wall. I can nail him there solidly. You know, I need to spend a lot of time winning back friends I've influenced. Through this experience, I said, "Well, okay, Lord, I'll do what you say. I'll do it. I was murmuring in my heart. I was murmuring at the job that God had given me to do. And I was almost identical with Eve. As you meet some of these fine fellows and girls around here this week, if you've met any finer, I don't know where they are. Some of the finest people I've ever seen, God has sent to work with us, to wait on tables and pour coffee, cook, people with degrees. People with earning power. People that know the Word and can sing and love God. And He sent them to work with us. Having a staff like that, I was discontent. The Lord has enabled us to get out of debt. We've been working and living out of debt for nearly 3 years now in the Navigator's work. Praise God. We have enough money to pay our bills. We don't have a whole lot left over. Don't need a lot left over. You know, the Lord has sent tradesmen. The Lord's given me opportunities to witness. The Lord's given me opportunities to build into lives, and still I murmur. Still I murmur. Let me encourage you. Don't you have to learn your lessons like I have to learn mine. You just take it from the Word and obey it and apply it. Don't let Him have to teach you some hard lessons. He can do it. And some of you know. Some of you have been taught. I heard a story once of two pitchers at the well. This is an old-fashioned well and stone around there. And these pitchers were sitting up on this well. One pitcher was talking to the other pitcher and said, "You know, I come to this well and get filled up, and I go away and get dry, and I always have to come way back to this well and fill up again." The other pitcher said, "You know, I come to this well and fill up, and I go away and get dry. I can always come back to this well and fill up again." Let's say it together. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let me share with you a couple more verses here. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Be careful," or "be anxious," or "excited." "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Don't be excited, full of care, anxious. You remember Mary and Martha in Luke 10, 41, 42? Jesus was coming to dinner, evidently other guests. Philip translates this interestingly. Jesus is talking to Martha, and he says, Martha, my dear, thou art troubled about many things. Martha, you're anxious. Martha, you're all excited. Martha, there's something in you just... Today it happens to be serving, but that's just a happenstance. Today it's the way the napkins and on the placemats and the knife and fork and the butter knife, or the butter knife and the dessert fork, no, salad fork, wherever it goes. But that's not your problem, Martha. Your problem, Martha, is that you're anxious, that you're excited. Mary hath chosen that good part. Please don't drag her away from it. Jeremiah 17, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness and the salt land and not inhabit it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Listen now. And whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like the tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Full of care, full of anxiousness, in the year of drought. Remember the rich farmer? He says, my land had brought forth so much. This is in Luke 12, 13 through 21. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater barns. The scripture says, thou fool. He didn't turn and give God thanks. Remember the 10 lepers in Luke 17, 11 through 19? They came and they asked Jesus for healing. 10 of them were healed of the awful disease of leprosy, and only one turned back to say thanks. And he was a half-breed, a stranger, Samaritan. In a loud voice, thanks. Thanks. This is a part of your life. You know, to be ungrateful is an awful sin. In Romans 1:21, in the midst of all of this other sin that the Lord depicts here, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Just a word of thanks. It says in the last days in 2 Timothy 3:2, for men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I believe I am standing before you as a believer because of the prayers and work of my mother and my father. My mother is with the Lord. It was through her death that I came to know Christ as my Savior. Since I have left home, I was 21, 22 years old. I have written my father about once a month, once every 6 weeks, on occasion, once every 2 months, for the last 27 years. Why? I'm thankful. He did a lot for me. Yeah, but John, 27 years is a long time. They mean more now than they did when I first left. Do you need to tell her thanks, fellas? Huh? You take it for granted. I know a lot of guys that wish they could go back and tell her thanks. Do you need to tell mom thanks, young people? Need to write a letter? Thanks. You know what's the opposite of thankfulness? Proud, heady, stiff-necked, hellish, and high-minded. That's right. They don't deserve the praise of my lips and the word of thanks.
It'll change your life if you'll start showing gratitude, giving thanks. It'll affect those around you. It'll smooth troubled waters. It'll open your heart for further knowledge. Let's go over our verse again. Can you say it by heart now? Ready?
1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
Let's stand for a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Father, we pray tonight that if there's been anything said not according to your will, your word, it might be soon forgotten. Those things that have come from you, I pray, Lord, that we might not soon forget. We might remember the landmarks in our lives, the times of sickness, the times of promise, the times of memorizing certain passages, and the good times as well. And we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.